I wonder how often any of us can identify with this parable which Jesus tells us. A man had two sons. I have two sons. Both of whom changed their minds. My sons changed their minds quite often. But each one said one thing but did another. Of the two sons, I would agree with the scriptures. I would say the first son was the better in that when asked to work in the vineyard, he first said no, but then later changed his mind and said yes. There's no real explanation from the scriptures indicating why each son changed his mind, but only that they changed their mind. Let me offer one possibility for consideration. After being asked, both sons thought about the authority of their father. I think then one son took the authority of the father more seriously than the other. The one who took it more seriously must have thought about his father and realized what his father was asking had merit, and that in being a responsible son, would want to do as the father asked. The other son, maybe not really respecting his father's authority, did not feel any obligation to obey the father, and then in a passive manner, completely disobeyed. I know as a son myself, and now as a father, how on occasion I would do something that my dad asked me to do, and I did it not because I wanted to. As a preacher's kid, there are a lot of things my dad asked me I didn't want to do. But because I respected my dad's authority, my father's authority, I wanted to maintain a good relationship. You know, you want to be able to have the car and drive and, you know, those kind of things. So he was my father, and I would abide by the rules which he set down. So Jesus then goes on to indicate that, which was very, very heretical and very offensive, to say the least. And please remember, as I've already mentioned, that Jesus said these things in the temple just after he had entered Jerusalem. A few days from the arrest and crucifixion, he had entered the temple, overturned the tables in a confrontation with the religious leaders. And he was telling them that the tax collectors and the prostitutes would be going into the kingdom of heaven ahead of them, ahead of the religious leaders in the temple. What explosive talk that was. What did he mean? What he meant was that the tax collectors and the harlots, living life contrary to God and saying no to God by what they were doing, changed their minds after hearing John the Baptist, perhaps, and Jesus himself, changed their minds and accepted the authority of God in Christ and changed their way of living to say yes to God. But the religious leaders who were saying yes to God were in effect saying, living in a way which said no to God by the manner of their conduct in the temple. The cheating and the lying and the robbing of the poor and taking advantage of the widows. That's what Jesus was referring to, just like the prophet Jeremiah. You've made my house is supposed to be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. What a message that is. What a message to us, because it calls into question how much we, you and me, as the church, respect the authority of Christ. It's always sad to me when I hear stories from people throughout my years of ministry, and there have been many of them, indicating that sometimes they find more acceptance and more generosity in society than in the church. Has anyone ever felt that there is more friendliness outside of the church than inside of the church? If so, could we conclude that those no Christians outside of the church saying no to God are actually saying yes to God, while those in the church saying yes to God are actually saying no to God? That's what the parable's about. Are we in here saying yes in worship to doing God's work and then leaving here and not doing it, while those not in church saying no to God by being out there and not in here then turn out to be doing God's work? Either way, it does raise the question about the authority of God in the lives of those two sons, and it raises the question of the authority that Christ has in our lives as well. Christ asked us to be his disciples and to be faithful and diligent as we are called to labor in his vineyards. How do we answer? Laboring in Christ's vineyards. In this story, it's not what we answer, yes or no, but rather whether we eventually do what Christ is asking us to do. I had the privilege of going back to my hometown up in the Scranton, Pennsylvania area, and was able to go back to the manse where I used to live, and outside was my neighbor's house, who was a Baptist minister, and I was able to see the very place where I was working in my neighbor's garden when he approached me about entering the ministry. My dad would never do that, neither would my mom, but he did. He was a Baptist preacher. And I basically said no. But, you know, you change your mind. It was difficult to read the scripture to see Jesus and the religious leaders bickering. And like I said, Jesus had overturned the tables, and the religious leaders were upset by his questioning authority, and they were asking him about his authority, but yet they already knew that they're the ones in authority, so for them it wasn't a question of authority, it's a question they were going to continue to do what they wanted to do regardless of who this Jesus was. That was just a trick question that they asked him. But the bottom line is, are they going to resist, and why would they resist? Because basically, for those religious leaders in the temple, they wanted to keep things exactly the same and maintain their own authority and their own power. If Jesus' authority is indeed from God, then why do we resist? What keeps us from changing our minds and responding to the call of discipleship? Do we say yes to our own authority and no to the authority of Christ? Jesus was presenting new concepts, new ideas, different kinds of worship. What happens when new people come into the church and take on leadership positions and want to change something? How do people respond? Yes or no? Not that every change or new idea is from God, yet sometimes we want to maintain things exactly as they are because we respect our own authority, not the authority of Christ. And we have to figure out what authority we're following. But the invitation goes out to all, young and old, rich or poor, male or female, longtime member, newly joined, deeply committed, to come and discern and say yes, even when maybe a while back we had said no. And to be a part of an exciting journey of faith that the leadership of the church wants to use here at Bethel. Perhaps we want to change what has been and create what is new. We want to forgive and let go of the past and embrace the future. We want to let go of the sins of the past and with joy embrace the excitement of the future as we respect the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. like Jesus, we may need to upset and overturn the established tables of the religious establishment to embrace a new authority and a new trust, which our Lord Jesus Christ has for this congregation and all congregations. And to help you discern whether that eventuality is decided upon is of human source or of heavenly guidance. The no's of the past, I would hope, become the yes's of the future. I hope as a congregation you can always have healthy and open and honest dialogue as we move together as a congregation. No need for people saying one thing and then doing another, either way. And it's not me who's asking this. It is your Christ asking through me and even through your officers that we now work in the vineyard called Bethel Presbyterian Church. The person challenging you this morning, and who will be challenging you in the weeks ahead and the months ahead continually, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The question is, do we respect that authority? And are we able to discern when to say yes and when to say no? And that we respond with hope and joy and thanksgiving to the authority of Christ, not out of a sense of obligation, gosh, I just have to do this, but rather because God has welcomed us and has included us in a way that transforms our lives and makes us a blessing. We're called to work in this vineyard known as Bethel Presbyterian Church. Will we go and do what is necessary? Till the soil, plant the seeds, nurture the plants, harvest the crops, feed the hungry. And will we share our resources, attend worship, teach and sing and study, forgive and reach out, listen and visit and pray and plan and meet? May we respond not just with voice, but with work and actions and getting our hands dirty and our faces sweaty in the vineyards of our Lord. On this World Communion Sunday, as we partake of this sacrament, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ broken and shed for us, what kind of authority, how powerful has that message been, or how powerful can it be in our lives? Can it change a no to a yes and keep a yes a yes? Amen.